Greetings, fellow tech seekers. Sean from Silicon Theory here, and this is Silicon Theory Radio. Wherever it is that you're listening, whether it's on Anchor.fm or your favorite podcast player, thanks for tuning in. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the future of computing. And there's been a lot of talk about this lately, so we're going to go into specifically what I'm concerned with and what I'm focused on, and then I'll talk a little bit about a few other resources that you can explore if you want some more information. But for longtime listeners, you will know that I had a show a while ago called I Want to Buy an Apple Watch, but I'm Not Going to Yet, or something to that effect. And it was basically a discussion around how when the newest version of technology is released, that often discounts the older version of that technology. And so I did end up getting an Apple Watch Series 3 when the Series 4 became available for a significantly discounted price. So you're ending up getting about 90% of the tech for about 60% of the cost, which ends up making it an excellent value, especially if you're considering smart wearables. Now, that's not the discussion I want to have today. The discussion I want to have today is really surrounding the future of mobile computing. And after our sponsor, I'll tell you why. So, the future of computing. What I'm really focused on is how computing impacts my life. And by extension, how it extensions most other everyday people's lives. So computers are in use for a lot of things. We use computers every single day to do work, to do play, and to do a wide variety of other creative projects. How I use computers and how computing impacts me is mostly in the mobile space, as you could probably guess from the theme of our radio show. But the end result is that laptops and mobile phones, and in some extents tablets, impact me to the greatest extent. Now, I have been kind of interested in purchasing an iMac, the all-in-one product from Apple, for a little while now, and mostly as a way to leverage that platform to develop our video content a little bit better. But by and large, my MacBook Pro from 2015, the old one, you know, the one with all the ports still, works very good. I bought a maxed out spec one, and by and large, it crushes our video content, whether I'm shooting in 1080 or 4K. Now, having said that, does that mean that I'm satisfied with the level of computing power I have in my life? No, of course not. I don't think any technology enthusiast is really ever satisfied. You're always on the lookout for the next latest and greatest thing. But by and large, that segment of computing meets my needs. I do carry multiple phones. I'm only going to apologize slightly for that. But right now, I have an iPhone 6S. I have a Pixel 3, and I have a OnePlus 6T. And as part of my job, I evaluate technology, so it's natural that I should have multiple devices. At least that's what I tell my wife. And I enjoy it. It's great to have different options to be able to use when you need different things. So what does that mean for the future of computing? Well, if you listen to Apple's commercials, they would have you believe that the iPad Pro would really satisfy most of your mobile computing needs. And I think any smart technology-based person would know that while Apple's hardware probably could accomplish this, their software in the form of iOS, which is currently being run on iPads and iPad Pros, is not yet up to the task for the vast majority of quote-unquote real work. Now, why do I bring up these tablet-based devices? Well, a lot of reasons. And I'll kind of circle back to the beginning. I've kind of been considering buying an iPad for a lot of tablet needs, or a lot of mobile-based, tablet-based needs. Streaming content, surfing the internet, browsing email, and things of this nature. Can I do all of that on my phone? Yes. Can I do all of that on my MacBook Pro? Yes. And while my kids have iPad minis that they use to play games and watch videos and do FaceTime with their grandparents, it's not something that I'd necessarily considered until recently. The new iPad Pros are very powerful, and With a keyboard and an Apple Pencil or stylus input, you can definitely do some things that are above the level of your standard iPad content consumption level tasks. So I thought to myself, well, maybe I could make a small investment in an iPad Pro and get a much more portable and potentially much more versatile computing device. And I saw on Twitter either last night or early this morning, Dieter from over at The Verge has his review of the Surface Go product out. And there's a lot of talk in that space about what the future of computing is. And can a tablet-first device become your primary computing device? Because then you get portability, you get power, you get a lot of other benefits that you might not get otherwise. And while Apple does produce devices that are powerful and portable, there are always some compromises that need to be made, whether it's in the form of the number of ports you have accessible, whether it's in terms of the brightness and the brightness of the display and the longevity of the device, or whether it's in terms of it's a big device that you have to lug around everywhere, and so you have to make accommodations and allowances for that. But the iPad Pro is really the direction and the vision that Apple sees for people as convergence. You've got a tablet, you can do tablet things with it, but if you want, slap a keyboard on it, grab an Apple Pencil, and maybe you can actually do some creative work on it. Or maybe if you just want to bang out a couple of emails and reply to some messages, you can do that too. We're not quite there yet. And it's not because of the hardware. It's because iOS and its limitations with respect to macOS, or even the Windows platform for that matter, will not allow it to be what Apple wants you to believe that it is right now. I'm very intrigued by Dieter's review of the Surface Go because Windows, again, is still the most prevalent computing operating system for tablets and desktop class hardware all over the world. There are more Windows machines now than there have been at any point in time in history, probably. And while those numbers are changing because the future of computing is changing, I think Microsoft sees that and recognizes that, and they're trying to do something about it. Whether or not the Surface Go is the thing that will actually do something about it remains to be seen. And I'm not here to talk about the benefits or downsides of using one or the other operating system versus each other, because I really think, for most people, it should come down to what works best for you. And sometimes that means, like in my case, having the best of all worlds. I use Windows machines at the office. I produce creative content on a MacBook Pro. I use my Apple Watch to track my fitness and other health-related things. And I really enjoy using an Android device as my primary mobile phone. All of those things can mesh together if we make some allowances, if we make some compromises. And for the most part, it works well for me. Back to my initial question, though, would I consider buying an iPad? Could I use it as my daily driver for most things? Honestly, probably not. And that doesn't mean that an iPad or an iPad Pro, if I really sought that route, wouldn't serve some niche, wouldn't serve some function. But as phones have gotten larger and computers have gotten smaller, I wonder if this tablet-based form factor is really something that's going to be the future of computing. Would I want to use an iPad Pro with keyboard over the new MacBook Air? Probably not, because the MacBook Air runs macOS. And I can get Final Cut Pro, I can get GarageBand or Logic X, I can get a full web browser, a full desktop class web browser on a MacBook Air. And the iPad Pro can't do most of those things. Even with a keyboard, even with a stylus, or Apple Pencil if you prefer, there still are allowances made with the software. So I think the future of computing is really not necessarily about computing at all. It's about the future of software development. And it's about the future of redefining and re-engaging end users with how it is that they actually need to do what they need to do. For some people, that may mean that iOS is great. You can reply to email, you can be mobile as a professional, and if you're an executive level person, you can access all kinds of reports and charts and graphs and informational data. You can consume that the same way that somebody at home is going to consume music from Apple Music and watch videos on Netflix and browse the internet on Safari. But we need an operating system that can handle all of those things, as well as at least 80 to 90% of what the creative pros are doing. Consuming content is one thing. Creating content is something else entirely. And until the tools and the software match the ability of the hardware, things like the Surface Go, things like the iPad Pro and the iPad, and the vast majority of other things in the Chrome tablet space, starting with the Pixel Book and the Pixel Slate and what ultimately ever else Google decides to give us, all of those things need to find a way to be all things to all people. And right now we have those things. They're called smartphones. They're called laptops. They are all things to all people. Tablet computers are not yet, and maybe they'll get there someday, but that's in the future. Thanks for listening. Again, as always, you can find all of our written content over at SiliconTheory.com. Follow us on social. We are at Silicon Theory on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Sorry, things have been a bit light there lately. Not a lot going on in the world of tech these days, but and also because of my illness, I haven't been as creative as I want to be, but getting back to that soon, so stay tuned for more coming. And as always, of course, you can find our video content over at youtube.com/C/SiliconTheory, or just mash that link in the bio. If you enjoy the show, make sure you give us a rating or give us some applause on anchor.fm. We really appreciate it. It helps other people find our show. Again, if you enjoy the show, make sure you tell a friend. We appreciate that too. Take care, everybody. And again, as always, we will talk tech soon.